Welcome to our video worship. Much of the material today was recorded prior to the news of the death of Her Majesty the Queen. As we begin today, a few words and a prayer led by Dr. Ian Greenshields, moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland.
I recently had the privilege and honour of staying at Balmoral and spending time with Her Majesty the Queen. She was in good spirits, full of fun and strong in faith, a genuinely remarkable lady. This is a time of grief and thanksgiving for a life well and purposefully lived. Her family are in pain and sorrow, and I know they will value our prayers for them. Let us pray. Gracious and good Father, full of love and peace, you are from everlasting to everlasting, ever good and ever true. Your greatest gift to us is eternal life, and in this hope we place our trust. Today we give thanks for the life of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, who has now entered fully into the promise in which she believed. Long has she reigned over us, offering support and courage, a steadying hand in difficult days, and a kindly presence in times of peace and prosperity. We thank you for her life, so rich in years and in service, for our unwavering commitment to country, Commonwealth, and every generation. For our trust in Jesus Christ, our devotion to the Church, and our respect for other faiths, receive our thanks today. May she rest in peace as she enters fully into your promise. In their loss, comfort our family, especially our King as he assumes his new responsibilities. Assure them of your presence and peace, granting to them the consolation of cherished memories and the hope of your promised kingdom. And these prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In time of light, in time of darkness, we share these sacred moments, seeking the solace of faith, and to be found by the mercy of the living God. With tears and with laughter, with the memories of the long years, on this day we share that which is good and that which brings us comfort and hope. Let us be still for a moment with memories and thoughts as we prepare to worship Almighty God.
Hello, and welcome to worship from the West Highlands. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever time of day it is, you are very welcome to join us. The theme for our service today is Lost and Found. We're going to hear a well-known story, the story of the lost sheep. It's a favourite with Sunday schools and junior churches. And you may be familiar with it. If not, it'll be new to you. Our call to worship, some words from the end of that story. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. Our God is a searcher of the lost, and when he finds them, he rejoices. So let us praise our God in our first hymn, Amazing Grace.
Let us pray. Merciful God, life-giver, shepherd and guide, we come before you in humble adoration. We are delighted to offer this time of worship. We come to sing of your amazing love for us, revealed in Jesus. We come to hear your word anew and to learn more of you. We come to offer our prayers and our gifts. We come aware of our faults and failings. We come glad that when we choose to lose our way and walk away from you, you are patient and wait for us to return. We are glad to know that when we fail and lose ourselves, that you are there. There is nowhere we can go that you cannot find us, and nothing we can do that you will not forgive. We are humbled by your eternal love for us and your desire to be in a full relationship with us. We also long to be in a relationship with you and know that it is something we need to work on each moment of every day. Lord, help us to stay near you and follow you. May we learn to love as you do and create relationships with others as you do with us. We thank you. Amen.
A reading from 1 Timothy, verse 1, reading from verse 12 to verse 17. The Lord's grace to Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But For that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen. A reading from Luke 15, 1-10. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Nothing highlights the great divide between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day more clearly than their different attitudes towards sinners. Jesus welcomed sinners. The religious leaders condemned them. The Jews of Jesus' day knew that they were God's chosen people. God had given them the law, and provided they kept this, they would be all right. The trouble was that many, many man-made rules had been added to God's law. And many of the leading Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, put more emphasis on keeping the letter of all these rules than on the spirit of God's law. Many of them seemed to have forgotten the meaning of the summary of the law given in their books of Moses, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Love your neighbour as yourself." For many, righteousness had come to mean cold, technical keeping of all the rules. Mercy, love, care and compassion didn't get a look in, and joy certainly didn't feature. To these Jewish leaders, sin meant breaking a rule. Break the rules and you're no longer part of the in crowd. no longer part of God's chosen people. Tax collectors and other sinners didn't keep all the rules. They had put themselves outside of the law. They had put themselves outside of the chosen people. Contact with them could contaminate others. Did you know that some strict Jews thought that just the shadow of a sinner touching them made them unclean, prevented them from taking part in certain ceremonies, required them to undergo ritual cleansing? How different Jesus' attitude was. We read throughout the Gospels that without condoning sin, Jesus welcomed sinners and offered them forgiveness and love, understanding and care. Like a magnet, he attracted the most despised members of society to himself and rejoiced in their friendship. But more than that, he not only received sinners when they came to him, he took trouble to search them out and go to them. For instance, he called Levi. He approached Zacchaeus, both of whom were tax collectors and sinners. Small wonder then that when the scribes and Pharisees saw Jesus in the company of outcasts and even eating with them, they bristled with indignation. What a way for a religious leader to behave! He should know better. And when, they muttered and complained, Jesus told the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin. The message was clear. You only bother to look for something if you value it. If you value it, you do rejoice when you find it and bring it back to where it belongs. Now, as far as sheep and coins went, the Jewish leaders would have agreed with this. But the statement that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent would have been outrageous, would have been scandalous. There was a Jewish saying of the time, there is joy before God when those who provoke him perish from the world. The Jewish teaching was that sinners were as much an affront to God as they were to the religious Jews. And here was Jesus contradicting that and saying sinners were precious to God. So God searched for them and rejoiced on finding them. This chapter of Luke, chapter 15, with these two stories, and also the story of the lost or prodigal son, which follows on, is sometimes called the gospel within the gospel, the good news within the good news. Because it is the story of what God has done through his son, searching for what was precious to him and restoring the lost to where they belong, with him, in his family. As Paul said in our first reading, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I believe that Jesus would have been sad that the religious leaders of his day were blind to the fact that they were as lost as the tax collectors and sinners. Jesus welcomed and welcomes sinners because his message was and is one of love, not one of rules. A message of a God who is a loving Father, who wants to live in joyful, loving relationship with all his children. Not a message of a God who is a distant, cold, technical rule provider. A message of a loving father who offers forgiveness, reconciliation and new life. Not condemnation, punishment and retribution. Love doesn't deal in categories of people. It isn't just offered to the in crowd. It is offered to all. To Christians of all denominations and to non-Christians. God's family will only be complete when all of the lost, every single one of the lost, have been restored to their Father, as the flock was only complete again when the 100 sheep had been restored, or the woman's coins, probably her dowry headband, was only complete again when the lost coin had been found and restored to its place. We can all become lost, especially when we forget the importance of compassion and love. Sadly, over the years, some of the church's teaching has emphasized rules over love. But no one is so lost that God cannot or will not seek to bring them back. Paul, in his own words, a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, who in our first reading talks of God's grace being poured out on him abundantly. Grace that turned him from persecutor to apostle. Centuries later, John Newton, a slave trader, was on a ship that was floundering in a severe storm. He prayed to God and experienced God's grace. The storm died down. He went on to be ordained as a minister and to fight for the abolition of the slave trade. He wrote the hymn that we sang earlier, Amazing Grace, in which he says, I once was lost, but now am found. God's grace is so amazing that he not only looks for us when we go astray, he not only offers us his love and fellowship, but he wants ours. This same God wants to share our lives. The humdrum routine, the special events, work and play, to share laughter as well as tears. He invites us, sinners as we are, to a two-way, living and lively relationship. To joy, not to a set of dry rules. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray for our world. We pray for people and situations where your love and your healing touch is needed. We hold before you the faithful people continuing the work of your kingdom, taking the good news to all who need it today, and who continue to share your love with people and help them to come to know you and follow you. We pray especially for the people who continue to do this work in places where they are not welcome, and where persecution and physical danger is a constant threat to their work. Lord, we are grateful to the great cloud of witnesses who have faithfully served you over the centuries, for the men, women and children who have taught us and continue to teach us how to live and act in the world.
On this day, we give thanks for Queen Elizabeth and her exceptional reign, her deep affection for her people, her lifelong desire to serve the common good, her commitment to her Christian faith and respect for other faiths, her humility and grace, hard work and dedication. We thank you, Living Lord.
We offer our prayers for people and situations around the world where your loving presence is needed. For people seeking you and longing to know you as we do. We pray especially for places and people in our world who are less fortunate than us. Those who have lost everything through no fault of their own. Those living with violence. Those living in areas of flooding and drought.
Today we pray for King Charles and members of the royal family as they mourn the loss of a mother and grandmother, as well as a friend and a monarch. In the royal palaces, crown them with your loving kindness. Be with our national leaders, the First Minister and the Prime Minister, at this time of uncertainty and change. In the corridors of power, crown them with your heavenly wisdom.
We pray, Lord, for all the world leaders, that they will choose the right path for everyone to live as you would wish us to do so. May we all continue to be faithful people, loving and serving in the world, revealing your kingdom here and now. We thank you. Amen.
We come to make our offerings to our God. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendour and the majesty. For everything in heaven and earth is yours, and of your own do we give you. Use us and your gifts in your service. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth come. Sinning Alpha and Omega. us at liberty.
Let us go about our daily lives with joy and thanksgiving. And may the blessing of the Shepherd God find us. The blessing of the parable teller teach us. And the blessing of the Comforter encircle us. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, upon all whom we love, and upon all God's children everywhere. Amen.